This episode contains descriptions of sexual assault. Due to the graphic nature, listener discretion is advised. Hey guys, welcome to Right Owl Politics, coming to you from Miami, Florida. My name is Ariana Mendez. I am a Cuban-American attorney from Florida and a Republican political activist and columnist. Let me throw in a quick disclaimer here. Please don't interpret anything said on this show as legal advice. If you have a legal issue, consult with an attorney licensed in your jurisdiction. So let me just start out by saying if there's kids in the room, please tell them to, you know, go watch TV, go read a book, go play on the iPad, because this is definitely not a show for kids. There's going to be description of sexual assault allegations in this show, and we want, you know, the children to be protected from that. And for anyone who may be triggered by these descriptions, please, this is not the episode for you. So today we're specifically discussing the serious allegations made by Tara Reid against the Democrat presumptive presidential candidate Joe Biden. So this has been circulating for a few weeks now, and many of you may be wondering, what are exactly the accusations made against Joe Biden? So in March 2020, Tara Reid was interviewed by a podcast host, Katie Hulper. In that interview, Tara Reid says she worked as a staff assistant to Mr. Biden from 1992 to 1993 when he was a U.S. Senator for Delaware. Before the incident in question, Ms. Reid says she was told by a senior aide that Biden liked her legs and that he wanted her to serve cocktails at a fundraiser for him, a request she found demeaning and declined. When she later complained to others in the office that Biden would put his hands on her shoulders, neck, and hair during meetings in a way that made her somewhat uncomfortable, she says she was blamed and told to dress more conservatively. Fast forward to 1993, Ms. Reid says Biden forced her against a wall on Capitol Hill, kissed her, and put his hands under her shirt, her skirt, and penetrated her with his fingers. Reid says, quote, "I remember him saying first, as he was doing it, 'Do you want to go somewhere else?' And then him saying to me when I pulled away, he said, 'Come on, man, I heard you liked me,'" end quote. Shortly after, Ms. Reid lost her job as a staffer for Biden. Linda LaCassie, who lived next door to Ms. Reid after she left Washington in 1993, told Business Insider, quote, "This happened, and I know it did because I remember talking about it," end quote. She recalled Ms. Reid crying while describing her experience as they both share stories of violence in their life sometime in 1995 or 96. Lorraine Sanchez, a former legislative aide who worked with Ms. Reid in the office of a California lawmaker from 1994 to 96, told Business Insider that during that time, Ms. Reid had described being mistreated by a former boss. Meanwhile, Ms. Reid's brother, Colin Moulton, told the Washington Post that she had told him in 1993 that Biden had touched her neck and shoulders. Ms. Reid further describes a 1993 phone call to CNN host Larry King, where her mother provided an account of her claim. Ms. Reid said that the woman who called in to Larry King was her mother and claimed that her daughter had left a job in Washington after problems with a prominent senator. Reid's mother died in 2016. Ms. Reid says she had filed a complaint with the Congressional Personnel Office about her treatment as Mr. Biden's employee, but did not have a copy of the report. Separately, the records of Mr. Biden's 36-year career as a U.S. Senator are being held at the University of Delaware, which says it will not release any papers until 2 years after Biden leaves public office. Ms. Reid says the records will contain evidence that she complained to her superiors about Biden, and perhaps that other members of his staff may have had similar accusations. In a statement, Joe Biden said, quote, "Women deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and when they step forward, they should be heard, not silenced." He continued, "Their stories should be subject to appropriate scrutiny and inquiry," and said journalists should evaluate the full and growing record of inconsistencies in her story, which has changed repeatedly in both small and big ways, end quote. He also gave his first interview on the subject on Morning Joe, saying, quote, "The truth matters, it did not happen, period," end quote. So there's an obvious reason why this story matters. Joe Biden is running for the presidency of the United States. But there's also an equally important reason here. The left, the media, has taken the mantle of the Me Too movement and wrapped itself around it with slogans as every woman should be believed, every woman should be able to make her case, every woman is entitled to share her story. All these very inspirational and emboldening slogans run at the face of the hypocrisy that we are seeing right now from the left and the mainstream media when covering Tara Reade's story. Instead of giving this morning to night coverage, the media has been silent. The media has been nowhere to be found. It took weeks for Tara Reade to be interviewed by a major network. It took weeks for this story to get any airtime. And we're talking about the Democrat presidential nominee. This is big stuff, people. And we were told as a nation during the Brett Kavanaugh situation that every woman, every victim of sexual assault matters. Now it seems sexual assault victims only matter if the accusations are lodged against a Republican or conservative figure. And this hypocrisy is blatant. They're not even trying to hide it. So I believe in a presumption of innocence. I believe that Joe Biden has a right to make his case. With that said, we also need to give Tara Reade a platform to express herself and express her frustration and share her story. Because victims of sexual assault deserve that courtesy. But this is not what's happening with Tara Reade. Tara Reade is an inconvenient person right now for the left and for the media. Because at the end of the day, Joe Biden is supposed to be the better, more moral, more ethically sound alternative to President Trump. But if this guy, if Joe Biden has as a troubled history, is as imperfect as Trump, which by the way, Trump has never been accused of a sexual assault allegation of this sort. That narrative that Biden is the better choice, the more ethical choice, the more moral choice, the nicer choice, falls flat on its face. And President Trump has been very smart navigating this issue. He's actually encouraged Biden to defend himself, to go against the allegations. And he's even connected with Biden saying, I know what that feels like. I've been there. So this is a political powder keg. And Democrats know it. The media knows it. And since it's inconvenient for Biden and inconvenient for their ultimate goal, because honestly, they don't care who the nominee on the Democratic Party ballot is. They just want Trump out of there. They are voting against Trump. A vote for Biden is a vote against Trump. It's not for Biden. And anybody who tells you different does not understand the Democrat Party of today. The hatred for Donald Trump, the vehement disregard for any sort of decency or goodwill towards Donald Trump, is what fuels this need to get him out of power, and they don't care who they nominate as long as they get Trump out of there. Let me give you Democrats a bit of advice. Look, I was a Republican. I voted for Romney back in 2012. And a lot of Republicans fell into this trap. Anybody but Obama. Anybody but Obama. We felt that we had such a strong case against Obama based on his record that we didn't even have to run on anything. Just, you know, against Obama. And we misunderstood President Obama's appeal. And we also misunderstood what it takes for people to go out and vote for a candidate. That candidate has to stand for something. That candidate has to have a following. That candidate has to have a platform. You ask me right now what Joe Biden's platform is, it's scatterbrained. It's inconsistent, and his performance during these virtual times that we're living in leaves a lot to be desired. He doesn't look like he has the stamina. He doesn't look like he has what it takes to be president of the United States in 2020. And that's just the reality of it. And this is not because of his age, because my father is Joe Biden's age and is one of the most dynamic men that I have ever met, one of the most dynamic individuals I have ever met, and can keep up with a conversation easily. Biden has fallen asleep during interviews, loses his train of thought, but not in losing your train of thought where you're trying to find it and then you quickly find it. No, it's awkward pauses and mispronounced words and just stuff that sounds concerning. And I feel for him. I think that that is a problem. So you combine that, which is already concerning, because we need a president that is agile, that is on it, that is on his feet, that's ready to go. And then you combine it with these very troubling sexual assault allegations. That argument that that Trump is bad, that Trump is rude, that Trump is uncouth, and that Biden is, you know, it's the better alternative, the more polite, the more inspirational, the more presidential, falls flat. And this is a huge political issue. And we need to have this discussion, because these allegations are not just, oh, well, he asked me out on a date and I didn't want to go. No. This is pushing a woman against a wall, penetrating her with your digits. This is serious stuff. This is horrible things. And I cannot imagine what Ms. Reed went through. So this is a very serious topic, and the history of sexual assault allegations in this country is mixed. Sometimes the media gives it exclusive attention to an issue, usually when it pertains to either a Republican nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court or a Republican presidential candidate. If it's directed at a Democrat, like Bill Clinton or Joe Biden, media looks the other way. And I needed somebody to discuss this issue with that had experienced firsthand the media's double standard and hypocrisy. And that person is Gina Sosa. And it's great to have her on the show, because not only did she run for Congress, but she's a real estate professional, businesswoman, an awesome human being. I mean, this woman is even a filmmaker. She wears so many hats and she wears them so well. So you cannot say that this is a frail butterfly. This woman is in the arena every day doing what she has to do to get the job done. And it's tough, the toughest I've ever met. And this woman was targeted by major newspapers around the country because she dared to defend Brett Kavanaugh. And now when Joe Biden is being accused, you don't hear any attacks on his surrogates. You don't hear the media criticizing the people that are coming out to support him. That double standard can only be discussed by someone that has experienced it firsthand. She's been in the arena. She's been targeted. She's been that person that has been receiving that hypocrisy. So thank you, Gina, for coming on the show. Your speechwriter when you ran for Congress a few years ago, so I kind of have a sense of how, you know, your take on things. But I think you always have been a fair person, and I think you know you call it as you see it, right? And
yes, I do.
Yes. And one of the things that you went through that I think was so unfair was back in 2018, CNN invited you and a couple of other Republican women to a panel in Miami. And it was to discuss the sexual assault allegations against then Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And, you know, just as a refresher for our audience, you know, Christine Blasey Ford accused Justice Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her at a high school party back in 1982. And this was everywhere on the news. This was a big deal. The amount of coverage that this story got was incredible. But anyway, you guys were asked what your opinion was, and you guys supported Kavanaugh. You thought he needed an opportunity to be heard. And that just, you know, that opened Pandora's box for you guys. There were articles in Times Magazine, The Hill, Miami New Times, and then USA Today just talking about your segment. And I wanted to talk to you about that, about this double standard. People that came out to defend Brett Kavanaugh back in 2018 were just lampooned for supporting a Justice Kavanaugh. And now, you know, it's crickets with Joe Biden. And I wanted to get your take on it because you were on the receiving end of that double standard.
Oh, it was a totally double standard. And it's amazing the outrage, the pouring of hatred and threats and phone calls. I mean, you have no idea what us women went through, us panelists. And all we went to do, we were not saying that Ford was not believable. Let me clear that up. We never said that at all. We said that Judge K, as we named him, Judge K at the time, needed to go through the due process, just like Joe Biden now has to go through the due process. But I also believe Tara, you know, and not believe it's, you know, we have to come in this country's out of whack. It's totally upside down. And we need to come back to have balance. If we do not have balance in America like it used to be, we're lost. We are our worst enemies right now. And yes, Judge K, what they did to that family, to his wife, his children, was outrageous, and he never had due process. It was all, I mean, accusations towards him. We came out, we spoke, and we had our 15 minutes of fame that none of us wanted, and we couldn't believe the outpour of vicious, it's not even hatred, it was vicious, I mean, attacks on us all over the media. People were calling my cell phone. People threatened one of the panelists' life. And I mean, you just don't do that. That is not America. That you do find in third world countries where there are tyrants and dictators. In America, we are always had a way of agreeing to disagree, and but not attacking in such a vicious women that all we're doing was, yes, standing up for due process for Judge K and also standing up for Ford.
And I think that's important. I think you guys were just advocating for everybody to have, you know, their day in court, so to speak, for him to have an opportunity to make his case and for her to have an opportunity. But the media really didn't give Kavanaugh the benefit of the doubt. It was presumption of guilt the moment that the allegations were made. And it was morning to night coverage. And in this case, with Ms. Reed, it's the opposite. The allegations came out in April on a podcast, and Tara Reed was nowhere to be seen on television. It took weeks for any major news network to even think about, and it took even more time for somebody to actually ask Biden about the issue. And of all places, MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski from Morning Joe was the one to do it. But the coverage that this has received is nothing compared to what the Brett Kavanaugh accusations were given by the media. What do we make of that, Gina?
Well, it's very simple. The media is no longer, I don't know where journalism has gone in this country. The press is no longer really the press. I don't know if the Democrats own them or they own the Democrats. I don't know what's going on, but it's not very balanced at all. And they just attack the Republicans or President Donald Trump yet. And listen, if it's a fair attack, it's fair, okay? That's fine. But it's like the Democrats do nothing. They're saints. They're angels. They're victims of everything in life these days. It's really the media's fault, and I think they should be held accountable. And I think both parties, the House, Congress, there should be legislation written that the media needs to really become the media again. Journalists are no longer journalists. They are opinionated. All they do is opinions. They don't do research. They do not do investigative journalism. Not all of them, but the majority do not. And it's really shameful, and it's hurting both political parties. It's hurting the Republicans, and it's hurting the Democrats, because it's going to come back to them, and Joe Biden is the one that's going to, this issue with Joe Biden right now, people are not stupid in this country. People are very wise and smart and are paying attention. It is a double standard. Joe Biden needs his day in court, and Tara Reid needs her day in court. And let me tell you something, she's a Democrat, a longtime Democrat, and it's shameful that the Democratic Party is not standing up. And women, where are they? All the women in the Democratic Party that got elected to the House, Where is Nancy Pelosi here? Where is she? Where's the Speaker of the House?
Nancy Pelosi.
Being balanced
Nancy
here.
Nancy Pelosi is coming out on news shows and saying that she believes Joe Biden and she's proud to have supported him. So here, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. It's to your face. Double standard hypocrisy. We're going to be for our guy no matter what. And I want to talk to you a little bit more what this means for the Me Too movement. Because if Tara Reid, and I'm sure you've heard the details of her allegation. Her allegations are very, very graphic. We're talking about she's saying that he cornered her in a hallway, that he touched her inappropriately against her will, and then was very nonchalant about it after. These are very severe allegations. So the left, who likes to, you know, wrap themselves in this mantle of the Me Too movement, Alyssa Milano, you know, that actress that has her own podcast.
Yes,
to support women, and she believes all women. It seems that she only believes women that are going against Republicans. If it's going against the Democrats, she doesn't believe them. What do you make of that?
Well, that is shameful because that's taking away the credibility of the Me Too movement, which I will say that I think it was a movement that was needed because of what all the disgusting behavior of Harry Weinstein, I believe, the movie mogul, producer and filmmaker. I mean, it was disgusting. And so the Me movement, I think they took the right approach at the beginning. However, then they started the Him movement. Men came out and started to say, wait a minute, we cannot just be accused of rape when we haven't raped anyone. Remember, Judge Kay, we're talking about high school students. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, we're talking about two adults already. It's huge, what you just mentioned too. It's huge. These are two adults. She was part of his staff, and this is plain sexual harassment if he really did this. Mm-hmm. Me Too needs to step up in there and get back their credibility, because they're going to lose all credibilities. And you know it. Who it hurts the most? It hurts the most the young girls of today. The young girls, forget about party affiliation right now. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're non-party affiliated. This is beyond party affiliation. This is behavior from men towards women or women towards men, and we need to stop this.
What kind of example do you think this gives to our younger members of society, you know, the young girls, even the young men? So your accusation, you're only a victim if you're accusing the right person.
Exactly. I think it's terrible. I think for the youth of today and the youth of tomorrow, we need to step up for them. This should not be a party issue, a political issue. This is an issue that affects human beings and a behavioral issue. And we need to start respecting one another. And we need to stop this, because if we really want to have a movement, it should be a movement that's balanced and that everyone has their day in court and no accusations
so
are made until
now.
You
let's
get
talk
to that court.
And today, this year is a presidential year, and Joe Biden is running for the highest office in the land. This is a big job. This is an important one. And the left loves to accuse Trump of being a misogynist and, you know, everything under the... So does Joe Biden have any standing to make any type of accusation against Trump after these allegations?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm sure he was going to go there. He can't go there now. And the woman that's accusing him is a lifelong Democrat, just like him. She worked for him. Very sad. It's very sad. And I saw the Megyn Kelly interview. Excellent. And I'm glad Megyn Kelly, someone interviewed her. And you know what? I think the best part about this, of the Megyn Kelly interview, it's not a corporate interview. It's not media. It's not Fox. It's not CNN. It's not NBC. It's not MSNBC. It's nobody. It's Megyn Kelly. She went right there to her. Megyn Kelly has gone through this as well. Mm-hmm. Roger Ailes sexually harassed a lot of women. The only one that's listening to her is Megyn Kelly, and I'm glad that she did the interview, and now she's out there, and I think that the mainstream media and cable news should be running all this, just like they did with Ford, because that's what's the right thing to do. We have to do, the Democrats are not doing the right thing. They are just cheerleading for Biden, who could actually be everything this woman, Tara Reid, is saying that she did to her. And as an adult, as someone that worked in his office, And the accusations, as you said earlier, Ariana, are horrendous.
It's a lot. It's a lot to process. And I don't think that they're doing, when I say they, the Democrat surrogates, I don't think they're doing Joe Biden a service when they come out and try to discredit this woman in a way that is malicious and nefarious and ill-intentioned. I think they do him a disservice because they love to say they believe women. Well, give her an opportunity to tell her story. Don't do a blackout where she has not been interviewed by any major news network because you don't want to put the story in front of the American people. That's a problem with credibility that Joe Biden is going to have to answer for.
Exactly, and that's because they're trying to silence her. And now in the 21st century America, no one is silenced because of social media. There is no silence anymore. The children that are coming up and watching all this going on, it's just not healthy for America. Biden is totally off and he's not even the president yet.
There's been a downgrade to his mental capacity. And that's not being mean, that's just a reality.
He's not the right one to lead this country at this moment. And he's showing it every day. And I feel terrible for him because I have nothing against him at all. I really don't. And and he went through something really horrific that any parent that goes through it is the worst thing a parent can do. It's loss of his son. You know, that also affects you. And as you age, it affects you more. It's just my thinking of, because I've seen young people and they've never, I mean, to them, it's been detrimental. Mentally, it's been a strain on them.
What do you think of the fact that you have a party that kind of likes to wrap itself with the flag of, you know, as the minority party, the party of, you know, a diverse party, a party for the new millennium, a party for new America. And the presumptive Democrat nominee is Joe Biden. He's a white male, a person that doesn't even represent what this new Democrat Party, this new America that the Democrat Party wants to promote. What do you think of that?
Biden is, what can I say? I see him lost. That's the only word I can use. In his debates, I saw him lost. They had a very diversified platform in the Democratic Party, as they always cheerlead about. We have women, we have African American, we have this, we have that. To me, they have only white people. And not that I have anything against white people, by the way, but they're the ones that say, oh, these white men, white women. Well, let's think about it. 2016, it was only two white people, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Two white people, nothing against them, but I wasn't very diversified. The Republicans had a conga line of diversified candidates. If you think, you even had two Cuban American, debate stage in 2016. I mean, I was so proud of Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio because of our roots. I mean, we did that pretty fast. Think about it. And then with Donald Trump, he defeated all of them. Now we fast forward to 2020. And we had Pamela Harris, an African-American woman, the guy from New Jersey, Corey. We had very diverse. We even had Yang, Asian-American. I mean, I thought it was great. And who ends up being the nominee? A white man with entitlement of the establishment, Joe Biden. So they really don't want... Oh, and people... Wait, how can I forget? Openly gay candidate. Who would have ever thought? Think about it. And they are always cheering on, we are for LGBT. Did they help him at all? No, they did not. You know, he wasn't going to win anyway. But who do they go? With the one that they think will have the ratings, the one that the polls will all, you know, it's about polls. It's about money. Sadly, that's what it's come to. And that's why he's the Democratic nominee.
It's one of those things, party politics is very interesting. I think in the Democratic
Exactly.
Party especially, you have a party that is controlled by the elite. And it's always top down. And in the Republican side, it's actually the opposite. You saw that in 2016 where Donald Trump came out of nowhere and there were establishment favorites like Jeb Bush and so on. And Trump was there and people liked him and people liked what he was saying. And that completely changed the race. And it didn't matter that the establishment liked him or not. That was not an issue.
Exactly. So what we're doing now with this COVID-19, the blue states are trying for us to bail them out. No, we're bailing out on COVID-19, the people that are that are going through this pandemic.
How are you feeling?
Don't
about
get me
that?
Started.
What's your? Are you? Do you want the country to open it back up? Do you want it to be more gradual? Where do you?
On a personal level, I'm tired. I'm like not tired because there's nothing to. I am just. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. What happened? Did I end up in China, Russia, Cuba, Venezuela? Where am I in America? Am I in America? When I went, when this first started, it's just funny, but it's the truth. I went to get toilet paper because I needed toilet paper like a normal day, a normal week. I knew about it, but I didn't know that I was not going to find toilet paper or paper towels. I look at the shelves and I go, what's happened to Publix? Why is all this gone? Is there a hurricane coming? I text my niece and I said, man, there's nothing. She goes, gee, it's the coronavirus. I go, what does a virus have to do with the empty shelves? And I'm not kidding you. This was like a day or two when all this was going on. And let me tell you, this has been a wake-up call for a lot of people, especially the younger generation. I really do believe so. I mean, you see America, the American spirit through this coronavirus is alive and well. And there's many that want to kill that spirit, and we cannot allow that. But you know what? We shouldn't be dictating to people either, you know, do this, do that, because now you've become a tyrant. So we have to be very flexible. And I actually commend Governor DeSantis for the way he's handled it, because he's balanced. He's being an American. He's not taking a partisan position on the coronavirus. We really have to dissect all the information we get and look at the facts, the data, and take it a day at a time, because every life counts. Every life.
Thank you so much, Gina, for coming on the show. It's been a great conversation. Everything will turn out all right. That's what we have to keep saying to ourselves.
Absolutely. And thank you for the invite. Very proud of you on your new podcast. Keep it going. And
hey guys, before I sign off, I just want to emphasize this. These allegations against Joe Biden, they're so much more important than Joe Biden. This is about the Me Too movement. This is about media accountability in this country. This is about how we want these issues of sexual assault to be addressed and how we need to reject hypocrisy, because every sexual assault victim is equal. We should not be picking and choosing depending on who is the accused. And that's an important conversation that needs to be had. And the surrogates on the left that are attacking Ms. Reed, shame on you. Shame on you for trying to make her feel less because she's coming after Joe Biden. Shame on you for trying to discredit all the progress that the Me Too movement has done with your double standard. So guys, I hope that you found the show interesting. Please check out our bonus episode that aired yesterday. It's a really intimate look at my life, my journey here to podcasting. I think you will enjoy it. Remember, if you want a shout out, send us a message on social media or on our webpage by going to anchor.fm/Right Owl Politics, and you can leave a message right there and we'll give you a shout out. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend and stay tuned for next week's episode. Thank you.